Today on the Pure Sweat Basketball Show,
a lot of people will talk family. We live it.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Turn my headphones up.
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
Hi, this is Jay Billis of ESPN. You're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show. I'm sweating already.
Thanks for tuning into the show that actually teaches the game by making every episode a micro clinic. I'm your host, Alan Stein. Today's show is brought to you by Dr. Dish, the shooting machine that's taking training to the next level. In today's episode, I finish my enlightening conversation with Coach Brenda Freese of the University of Maryland. But before we jump in, did you know that the winning team in a high school girls' basketball game averaged 18 free throw attempts per game last season? Thanks to our crew at Crossover for making film sessions easy and efficient by cutting and organizing your plays for you. You can quickly and easily share clipped film with everyone in your program, as well as get interactive shot charts and advanced stats. Visit crossover.com/puresweat to try a game for free and start saving yourself hours every week. All right, let's dive back in with Coach Freese. What do you think is your biggest strength as a head coach and as the CEO of this entire operation? And then which areas do you feel like you need help with delegation to maybe fill in some of those puzzle pieces?
You know, I think the biggest strength is, you know, I always have a pulse on what's going on, but I'm not a micromanager. And so I think that is a big strength when you empower people, you know, again, as a mentor, I have that pulse, but I want to watch people or help people do their job and then empower them to do it effectively and kind of give them the feedback through that. So I think that's a big piece.
That's huge.
You know, the, you know, area, I guess, you know, you're spread so thin. And I think over the years for me is, you know, and again, through my son, I used to want to be everywhere, right? You want to be in your mind at work, but then you're thinking about your family and vice versa. And I always used to kind of feel like I wasn't effective in any place because where my mind was at. And yeah. I think for me, you know, I just have such a greater trust value of all the people that are within our program and how they're doing their job, and then just staying present, you know, enjoying the moment when I'm at work, being in a work mode. If I'm at home, being as present as I can when I'm with my family.
What's your key to doing that? Because I think that's one of the biggest struggles all of us have, is staying in the present moment, especially when we live in such a digitally distracted world where there's a million things going on. I really admire and respect that about you. What did you do to condition yourself to just being in the moment, whether that's with family or whether that's with the team?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously anytime, you know, for us, I mean, when you have a phone call that your son has been diagnosed with cancer, completely changed my life. I was I still am a list person, but my to-do list was always running in my head wherever I was at. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me is, even though, you know, my to-do list is somewhere I can shut it off. And if I'm with a player and I'm in a meeting, I'm with the player and I'm in the meeting. And I just think, you know, just seeing how fragile life is and going through that experience as a family has really just changed my mindset in terms of how present I want to be. And the past or the future, I mean, it will all take care of itself. It always has. I mean, I think you gain with experience and maturity, and you lose a recruit. You know what? I mean, it might have been a good thing for you. You trust the process and the things that come your way. And, you know, I think that's just over time having those experiences.
Absolutely. From a coaching standpoint, what do you think is more important for you, your instinct or your experience? You have tremendous experience.
I want to say both.
Yeah.
I think early in my career, it was instinct. Mm-hmm. I could walk in a locker room, I still can, and I can feel the pulse of our team and if they're confident or not confident and where they're at. But over the years, it's been my experience.
For sure.
And, right, because, I mean, obviously early you don't have that. So I think you have that to be able to fall back on, you know, over the years in terms of you've been challenged and tested in so many different ways that you can now lean on those experiences.
How often do you meet with your players individually and meet with your staff individually, whether it's to talk about something off the court or even if it's about an on the court? Is that something that happens regularly or is it just on an as needed basis?
Yeah, you know, I don't think for me it's checking a box of, again, that's based on what's needed. But I will say I'm hands on. So there's not a day that goes by that I'm not checking in with someone.
That's
okay.
Great.
So, you know, like, for instance, it could be before practice, I'm going to hit these two players. Maybe this assistant coach I feel needs this, and we're going to have this conversation. You know, I already, you know, today have two players coming in before practice and two after because, you know, just in terms of having the ability and the time right now. So it's all based on kind of where you're at in your season, what players need, what coaches need. And again, I think that's more by feel in terms of, you know, what you need for your program.
Love that. Do you personally work better under pressure when there's a real sense of time urgency, like back-to-back night play in a tournament, or when you have time to actually plan and strategize? Which are you most dangerous at?
I think under pressure.
Yeah.
You know, when I think back to like when the NCAA tournament rolls around, I love it because it there's no time to really put your head down and sleep because there's so much going on. and I love it. I'm completely energized with it. I think back to, you know, our 2006 national championship game. And, you know, when, you know, some of our closest games or closest matchups, I get a sense of calm. And I just really enjoy the moments.
When you're sitting down with a prospective recruit, what are your major pillars of selling them to come to Maryland other than the fact you guys win? What else what else do you hang your hat on when you're trying to convince a young lady to play for you?
You know, we really talk about, you know, a couple things. I mean, first of all, a lot of people will talk family. We live it.
Yes.
And I think
I love that.
As players come through here, they prospective recruits, they feel it, you know, so we don't even have to say this is what we are. They'll feel it. And as a mom, I mean, it's important to us. Yes, we win a lot here, but for us, it's so much more than basketball. It's the experiences you're going to walk away with when you graduate from here. You're going to be prepared. You're going to have incredible memories. You know, we're not just a basketball factory here where
right.
It's 24/7 basketball. We're going to, you know, we have a mental skills coach. We you know, have a character coach. I mean, we A to Z want the whole being in terms of our student athletes being the most prepared coming out in life.
Love that. What's the relationship look like with a lot of your alumni? Are they constantly coming back and still being a part of the family?
They are. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, our pros, Marissa Coleman just came through the office 3 days ago and, you know, back from Turkey. And you know, whenever they have those small little moments of time, they come through, you know, even our alum that aren't, you know, playing, you know, we have some in coaching and all areas and walks of life. I'll have them speak to the team. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's a proud time when you have your alums come back and that they, you know, send to you, you know, how much they learned and gained from your program.
Love that. How much interaction is there with the men's team and with Coach Turgeon on his side? Is there stuff that you guys do together? I mean, obviously you both support each other, but is there anything...
A ton.
That's
you know,
awesome.
our players live in the same apartment complex. You know, at one point they were on the same floor. You know, I thought that was a little too close, but you know, they're close friends. I mean, they have their own group chats between the men's and women's teams. They support each other at each other's games. They're really good friends. You know, off the court with what they do, and Coach Turgeon and his staff. I mean, can't say enough about them. I mean. In both sides. I mean, we've, you know, helped each other with different recruiting styles. We've stolen some things from them. They've stolen things from us. And it's all about Maryland here and really wanting to be the best. I love when I can text Coach Turgeon, just saw his dad in Nebraska. And, you know, just, you know, it's a great environment between both programs.
Love that. And the environment you guys have here for games, the Xfinity Center is off the charts. What are some of the toughest places for you to play? Just other venues that you guys have to go into that are always tough.
Oh, geez. you know, it's changed, obviously, for us in terms of our move to the conference. So, you know, as a coach, I think it's actually a lot harder to go into venues when there's nobody there, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
For us now moving in the Big Ten, we've been really fortunate. I mean, we've played, two road games, and there's been nothing less than 5,000 fans or more in these arenas. So that's exciting.
So cool.
So I'd say for us in the Big Ten right now, a huge rival as well as tough place, Ohio State.
Yeah.
They do a phenomenal product in terms of what they've been able to recruit and perform in terms of what they've been able to do there. So we play at Indiana this year, and that's a tough area. They do a phenomenal job in terms of how their seats are on top of you and the ability. So, road games are tough, but a lot of great venues we get to go into in the Big Ten.
That's really cool. And I know it's impossible to completely compartmentalize, but what's tougher for you, the off-the-court stuff of running this program or the actual on-the-court strategy, X's and O's of winning basketball?
Definitely off the court.
Yeah.
On the court, I mean, I think that's part of, what's ingrained in you and just how you love, strategizing and getting ready, your team ready for games and getting them better. But, off the court, I mean, there's a lot, in terms of distractions, outside influences, social media nowadays, the ability to when things aren't going well, the transfers that are taking place now in our game that is kind of trickled from the men's game.
Yep.
So I just think there's a lot more for student athletes that they have to combat with everything being online and games and who's watching and who's giving input. And, I think it gets a lot harder when you start playing games and you see that component.
Absolutely. If you could go back to 2002 and give yourself a piece of advice when you first took over the program, what would you tell yourself to possibly do differently over these last 15 years?
I would say early back in 2002, just to slow down and relax and, trust yourself. I think at that point, obviously, I was unproven and just came into Maryland and wanted everything yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think over time, like you said, the experience part, you get a better understanding of who you are and what you're about. But I would say back in 2002, I was very green and naive in terms of what I was getting into here in Maryland and just having a greater trust and, myself and what we were going to be able to do.
That's all we've got, y'all. Thanks so much for listening. I hope Coach Freese and I helped you raise your game. If you missed the first two parts of this interview, you will definitely want to go back and check those out. We want to give a shout out to our partners at Dr. Dish for revolutionizing basketball training with their state-of-the-art shooting machines and detailed training analytics. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. All right, it's time to get back in the gym.